This is Believe in Buckeyes, brought to you by Bet Online. Chin Hennel with that.
So it's playoff time, and the usual suspects are heading to Vegas for the championship. And our partner, Bet Online, is your number one source for football odds, stats, trends, and lines. With everything from point spreads to hundreds of bets on everything from the coin toss to the color of Gatorade, Bet Online is the number one source for your championship wager. Head to Bet Online and join today to get in on the action.
And if you have any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're 24/7 to help you out with any of your needs. But once again, this is Believe in Buckeye for Brian Brownie and Chinny Chekwai. It's the off season, man. So in the off season, it's a time to improve. It's a time to dive deep and kind of look at what you have and who you are as a organization, what things you need to improve on, what things you need to keep being good at, and also just overall what's going to make you achieve your goals next year and be a championship team. Just want to kind of start diving in, trying to look at some groups, and I don't know, we're going to throw a grade on some of these guys, I mean, potential grade on what, you know, what we have and what they, I guess, need to do looking for that 24th season. Anybody, anything stick out to you, any group you want to dive into first? I mean, what's on your mind, Chef?
Yeah, you know, based on last year, I said we start with the position groups that we feel like had the lowest grades, right? Because obviously they're the ones that need to improve the most. And I know there's been a lot of, you know, positive things to look at so far this offseason while football's not being played. But I mean, there's a, you know, we need when they actually step on the field to be able to get it done on the field. And I think if we look across the team, outside of the special teams, right? I think position wise, the tight ends, and even the offensive line are two areas where we probably need some of the most improvement. And I'm looking just based off last year, and who has left. I don't know. I think both of those groups are around a C grade in my mind, just based on last year. And I don't think there's been a ton of improvement so far in the offseason. Obviously, we had a couple transfers coming in that add some depth. But yeah, I think they're based off last year, who they got coming back around average now. And, you know, hopefully you go into the spring and coming out of the spring, they're looking better than what we saw last year. What do you think?
Yeah, so let's dive into it on the tight end side of things. So I think last year, going towards the end of the year, I believe the Dispatch kind of came out with some grades for the position groups. And I believe the tight ends had like a BB+ grade there. And that's essentially off the 23 play. Year 23 is over. And the big reason they probably got that BB+ is because of Kay Stover, who's no longer in the position room. So, like you said, we brought in a guy out the transfer portal from Ohio, Will Kamerick. You got G. Scott Jr. there, who's been in the program. This has to be G's. What? This might be going to year four for G, right? He's been in the program for a while. Yeah. We have Jelani Thurman, who was a true freshman last year, so he's going to his second year in the program. And then we have a couple of recruits coming in. I'm going to shout out Demarion Witten because he's from the alma mater from Glenville. He's coming in. And then there's another guy coming in. I believe he's a recruit out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. But really looking at those guys, like you said, there's a lot of things in my mind that they could improve on as a tight end unit. When most of the guys I'm naming, you start looking at the G. Scott Juniors, Demarion Witten, Jelani Thurman, like a lot of these guys kind of pop up almost as like wide receiver type of guys, big wide receivers. I don't know how much traditional tight end play we usually get out of. Once again, I'm going to not pick on G, but bring him up the most because he's been in the program the most. But essentially, I feel as a unit, we need more of a tight end to kind of be able to, you know, put his hand in the ground and be an extension to the offensive line, kind of be able to go out there and contribute in the run game, just line up and kind of base block some DNs, maybe work on some double teams with offensive tackles to the second level, catching linebacker, things of that nature. Last year, usually what we see out of tight ends, be frank, we usually kind of see them doing a lot of motioning, right? We kind of motion them around, and after off the motion, they kind of are responsible for blocking the guy from there. But I feel like it's a huge gap it's a huge thing that they basically could improve on is just kind of being able to line up, you know, line up at the end of the line of scrimmage next to offensive tackle and be able to kind of really operate from that position on the field. So, once again, they got a lot of proof. So, I mean, that grade of a C that you gave them, I feel that that's pretty – I agree. A C is a good fitting spot for them just because it's a phantom position. We just don't know what we're about to get out that tight end bunch if we had to go into the season and spring coming up to kind of see what they could do and how they could improve.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, even with Stover last year, when it came to blocking, I don't think the tight ends perform to what to the level that you want them to be able to perform at to get that run game going and to be just effective overall up front. The other group is the offensive line, and I'm interested in you being the former offensive line here in this this podcast. I'm interested in what your grade would be for that group coming out of last year, based on who they have returning, the guys they have coming in. And where there may be some opportunity for them to, you know, improve some more and be more effective moving forward.
Yeah. So I personally got them at the, let's say, C plus B minus range. I mean, coming off of last year, definitely some things that they can improve on. And mostly, I would say this all the time when it comes to our offensive line, it's really the mental work of it where they're kind of was lacking. And when I say the mental work is, it seems like a lot of times they was going the wrong direction and trying to block the wrong people, not identifying linebackers, guys on the second level, who they're responsible for. Maybe they're identifying a guy, but you got two guys working to the same person, so now there's another guy free, and essentially you're not really effective up front because of that. So I feel like they got a lot to improve there. The standard to be frank, was set pretty high. So, not, you know, last two or three years, what we was getting out of our offensive line play, when you're looking at like the DeJuan Jones and things of that nature, it was just really high end, right? And then kind of you're looking at the several guys that's been there for like the last, I don't know, let's say 8 to 10 years. I mean, just really high end players. And I feel like we got those type of guys, but they got to be able to kind of take that and translated to the field. So when you're looking at guys like Fryer and Simmons on the offensive tackle positions, you only expect them to improve, right? I mean, physically up front, when they appear to know going to the right guy, they tend to usually get the job done. But a lot of times when it comes, especially Simmons, is just a lot of times it's just little stuff. I kind of spoke about it right to the bowl game. Like, we're running to the left, there's a guy on the edge, and you don't block the guy on the edge, and there's no, it's only you over there. Like, you know, common sense things like, if there's a guy off the edge, no one else here is a tight end, there's no fullback, I should probably take that guy and just count my guard to kind of swoop in for this, be able to kind of step out for the defensive end. And just things of that nature. Early in the year, our short yardage was horrendous, right? We have no idea how we got on the second level. Like, you just kind of see guys trying to get a double team, and then linebackers are just running straight into the backfield, hitting our running backs in behind the line for tackles for loss. And it improved, right? But it's just, once again, it's another position where they kind of have to prove it, right? We know we got some talented guys there. We know we got some young guys that probably would kind of get into the mix. And obviously we got Seth coming in from Alabama out the transfer portal. So the story there would be, how did these edges improve? And how did the young guys improve to kind of create some depth there for our offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned it. Right? You got the talent in the room. Got some young guys who, a guy like Luke Montgomery, who was a high prospect. You expect some more growth out of guys like that. You expect them to develop into a player that can be super effective up front, which really points to the coaching in the development of players at the end of the day. You know, a lot of time when we looked at the run game last year, it wasn't like, oh, this guy can't move. It was more of, why he go that way, right? Or, you know, like, why did he block that guy? And then you're confused. Was it a mental error or was it the design? And, you know, I think when you grade out this offensive line, it's not a grade just for the players. Like, honestly, it's really a grade for the unit, including the coach. So you mentioned 31 is short yardage. I mean, that really tells you a lot about the foundation. And this team, to me, has done so much in the offseason. There's so much talent that's being built up. If that offensive line isn't operating in a way that's effective, then all of that talent that's being built up on paper never really realizes that potential on the field. So that's something to watch out, I think, really this spring, to see one who emerges. And this is the time where that development and that cohesiveness happens, and where the coaching becomes so important to make sure that happens.
Yeah, because myself, right, I talk about a lot about us, like, basically installing these run plays that you can run in any situation. And what I mean by any situation, you can call this play on 1st and 10. You can call this play on 3rd and 1. Maybe the personnel changes a little bit, but essentially the play is exactly the same, right? So when you start to see short yardage situations that are not, you know, they're not clicking, you know, they're not executing, it's like, well, hell, how do we install it? Like, how could you not know what to do in this situation? You should be doing this so much that you almost could do it in your sleep. Like, these are the rules of the play. If this situation happens, if someone is in this gap, you take him. If a guy runs through, you know he can't get through, because if he gets through, he makes the play, and we're not successful on that down. And once again, it's just stuff like that that you just kind of miss, that you're not really seeing. So that kind of, like you say, kind of falls into the coaching and how we kind of handle to take care of those situations. So,
and you know, speaking of coaching, there's a rumor here, Bill O'Brien. We're not sure if or maybe even likely that he's not going to end up being the offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah. So right now it's a rumor. I mean, obviously, I think they said everyone is kind of anticipating there'll be more news on Monday, which is February the 5th. But it's a rumor out there that he might be taking a head job at Boston College. And obviously, with rumors, it's just social media stuff. It's saying that, you know, it's a great opportunity for himself and his family. We're not going to kind of go into a whole bunch of details. Once again, it's rumors. But, you know, that's the type of guy, Bill O'Brien's the type of guy that could come in and install an offense that everybody knows what they're doing in these run situations on 1st down, 2nd and medium, 3rd and short, 4th and short. And a guy like that, that just kind of has that experience of telling the tight end, hey, this is how you work with offensive tackle. This is how you execute this block against a defensive end. A guy like that is essentially what we needed and what we're really looking forward to with him coming in. So if that rumor is true, I mean, we got to get a guy like that, right? I mean, right? Or we can't go to the what's the guy's name?
Cliff Kingsbury.
The Cliff Kingsbury's of the world. We don't need any more of that. We need some guys that's a 3rd and 1 coach, 2nd and 4 coach, man. We need some guys that can kind of go in and install that type of offense.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, one of the reasons we liked the hire was, you know, you get an experienced coach, a well-rounded offensive mind, someone who can command the offense almost like another head coach, right? You pretty much got a head coach on defense in Jim Knowles, right? He leads the defense. And you kind of get that same thing on offense and give Ryan Day so the ability to continue to be kind of the CEO of the team. And if you don't get Bill O'Brien, then you kind of go back to the drawing board and try to identify who else can be that type of guy. Like, I agree. I don't think we need another creative offensive mind that could figure out how to create more over routes to get guys open in the pass game, to get our tight ends open in the pass game. No, we need to get somebody who's going to draw up consistent plays so that our tight ends can execute in the run game effectively. When we talk about them not blocking as, you know, as expected, is it on the tight end or is it the scheme? Is it the inconsistency? Does everybody know what they're doing, or are we calling out the right guy? And honestly, last year a lot was put on Kyle McCord's shoulders. Mm-hmm. But if we're being honest, you know, a more effective run game consistently could have supported that. You know, some better protection in the pass game could have supported him. And the inconsistency up front combined with the inconsistency at quarterback really created some challenges collectively for that offense to move the ball. And yeah, Bill O'Brien would be the type of guy that can support that consistency. And I'm not sure who else is out there.
It's kind of tough to say. But you know who is available? And I know this guy's available for sure, right? For sure.
Who's that?
Mike Vrabel is available, man. You know? He would say he's a defensive guy. We know it. But, you know, he played tight end, caught a lot of touchdowns for the Patriots and Coach Bill Belichick, man. So, that's not his bread and butter, but I know he could go in there and coach.
somebody from the Patriots, right? Bill's out there walking around
too.
I don't know how old he is now, but he could come in and do something. But I mean, and they're not your traditional offensive coordinator, but man, we don't need necessarily another creative offensive passing mind, right? We got enough of those guys in the room, man. Let's get a guy who's going to make sure everybody's in the right spot and create the consistency on the offensive side of the ball that we saw on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. But, yeah, man, so, I mean, obviously, we wanted to kind of talk about this. Obviously, if you caught our show last week, we had one of my big bros on the show, man, Pierre Woods, who went to that school up north. And it was a great conversation, man. We got to kind of hear essentially his perspective. And by his perspective, I mean, the same thing is when he's talking to his guys, you know, guys that he played ball with at Michigan, how they have been kind of viewing the situations, right? We know that Michigan's been in some situations over the past few months, and now Coach Harbaugh is gone and things of that nature. So, you know, we wanted to kind of hear from him, let him speak his piece. Before the show, you know, we kind of had our kibats to everything. Before the show, we wanted him to kind of be able to kind of get out his side of view on things. But yeah, we want to kind of dive in on that, man. I mean, like, you know, Harbaugh's gone, right? So how do you feel about that? I mean, I think his record against Ohio State, I think is ending like 3-5 or something. So he wasn't successful against Ohio State, but he did leave with the last few wins there. But yeah. But he's now gone. He's out the rivalry for us, man. How are you feeling about that, man?
Yeah, so, you know, I think a great coach who created a certain level of success would leave the program in better shape when he leaves than when he got there. Mm-hmm. Now, him at this point, is Michigan in a better position now than it was when he got there? It could be debated. They may be because they have a national championship trophy there, and you could live a few years off a national championship. Like you could lose 2-3 years.
You could use a few decades off that. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You can still eat off that national champ. That's like storing up some food for the winter. Like you could eat for a little bit off that national championship. However, I mean they got some challenges ahead. Depending on what the NCAA does, I got very little respect for the NCAA overall. I don't know how they make decisions about stuff. It's so random to me. But depending on how they come down when it comes to the cheating scandal aspect of it, which is a real thing that happened, but it's almost like they beat the case on the field by winning the national championship. But they still have to come down with something. Then you got he took so many of the coaches. with him too. So I just think overall they have an uphill battle, and I do not agree with Pierre. I don't think they are looking at an 11-1 season. I think they're much closer to an 8-4, an 8-4 season than an 11-1, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're about to find those struggles. I mean, it's funny, like, you know, you say the NCAA is and like the NCAA. They have to be kind of hearing all this noise. I mean, a lot of people are calling the NCAA weak at this point. Like, yeah, NCAA, yeah. Like, I mean, what a better time to kind of maybe get your power back and coming down, you know, and dropping the hammer on the team up north and do something that let people know that you guys are still here, you guys are still kicking, and you guys are still to be respected. So, man, I don't know, man, but I do agree. That Michigan is going to probably lose a handful of games. I mean, we went over the schedule. I don't know if we went over the schedule. They got a tough schedule. Right? They got to play a lot of good teams. And due to that, with them just losing so much, and it's the way they play the game, I think they can find themselves in a simple situation when they lose four or five games and not see themselves back into the not into that 12-game playoff, right? I think, you know, that's my opinion of them coming into this year. So, yeah, I think Harbaugh, like, you know, he kind of – I think everybody's kind of running from that NCAA. I don't know. Like you say, you think they're kind of weak, but a lot of people kind of departed, ran away, and obviously they're not coming back anytime soon.
Right.
And then Coach Moore, he's going to have to kind of deal with that. However that comes down, wherever they do, whether they take stuff away, what's most likely, in my opinion, you kind of have to do. If you're going to be any way to punish someone, you have to do something like maybe take away some scholarships, things of that nature, make you kind of operate not with your full hand in that type of order, but we'll have to see, man.
and it's the thing that's a little, I guess, odd to me, because, you know, you promote more, you know, you lose some offensive linemen. I think that's going to hurt him. I thought the offensive line was their best position group. We talked about our worst, right? I think that was their best.
Yeah.
And Moore's an offensive line coach, so maybe he has some type of magic that he can do to make sure that next group of guys are ready to go. But it's like every coach is just getting promoted. It's like, you know, Moore becomes the head coach, and then – you know, somebody else gets promoted to being the offensive coordinator who's already on staff. Then somebody else gets promoted to be the offensive line coach. Then you get the guy, somebody else, assistant or something, to be the tight end coach. It's just everybody just kind of just moving up the ladder. At some point, they got to bring somebody in. Like,
yeah,
go get somebody that's a hot coach out there and bring them in. But, you know, I think it works. I think this first season is the season – where keeping everything the same gives you your best opportunity to win. I think as they go on, not bringing in the top coaches and getting the top recruits is going to hurt them every year moving forward. So it's not just this season. I think they're gonna, every year they move forward, it's going to get harder and harder for them to win.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, obviously it's Michigan, so long as we got to get back to taking care of that business in November. Yeah. And that's really what it really comes down to, man. But kind of want to dive into the news around Ohio State. We got some new recruits. Carter Lowe, offensive tackle out of Toledo, Ohio, commits to Ohio State for the 24 class. And then also cornerback Naeem Offord. I think he's rated. It's funny. Every time I first somebody commit, they're the number one player. But it's like he's the number one player. Cornerback committing Birmingham, Alabama. And I'm sorry, that's for the 25 class. But I want to kind of speak back about that Lowe commit, because Lowe's rated the number two player in Ohio, the number one player in Ohio. He's been committed for a while. St. Clair, quarterback. And then also the number four player is Bo Jackson, who was a running back out of the Cleveland area named Bo Jackson, who's committed to Ohio State as well. And so, I mean, when you're looking at the list of Ohio, like we've been talking about it on this show for a year now, but we talk about building that gate around Ohio. And right now, if you look at the boards, like the top three or four guys of the state are all committed to Ohio State and committed, you know, pretty early. What does that say about, I mean, Coach Day and his work? Is he getting the picture? If you want to beat the team up north, you got to first start with getting your guys in your backyard.
I think a little bit of him getting the picture. But I think the bigger thing is that Ohio has good players. Like, I'm not saying they haven't always had good players, but there's been, I feel like in recent years, there's been a couple years, because the guys they're getting aren't guys that were two or three star guys that they found and this guy's going to be a great player that nobody else so these are nationally ranked, high level, high talented guys that everybody knows, right? Oregon will come in here and offer them. USC will come in and offer these guys. Like, so they're still kind of on the same track. They're getting the top players in the nation. It just so happens that the top players in the nation are actually here. Now, there's some times where there's guys in Ohio that aren't as highly rated that go play somewhere else. And they still are the top players in the nation. I don't know what Kobe Bryant was rated. I mean, he stayed in Ohio, but but he didn't come to Ohio State, and I'm not sure Ohio State really recruited him that hard. I don't know how high he was rated, but, you know, sometimes you have some guys who can play. But
come on, call me the cornerback, man. They're not talking about the basketball player, probably.
right. So I think part of it is him getting the picture, but I think the other part of it is these are top-level guys.
Yeah,
you have no choice but to recruit him.
Right, I mean, because sometimes you get the feeling that, you know, Ohio State wasn't really getting a lot of Ohio guys because they just was, once again, getting the national recruits, and this will happen, maybe the national recruits wasn't in Ohio. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel good about that, man. I like the fact that, you know, he's getting Ohio guys. We got Trey McNutt. He's one of the top players in Ohio. He's fitting like that three slot. He's got an offer. He hasn't committed. But, you know, his father is a former Buckeye. So, you know, always, if you don't get the former Buckeye, I'm not going to say we really dropped the ball recruiting. He just maybe just really wanted to go somewhere else. And there's really nothing you could do about that. But we'll see with him as well there. And obviously we got guys, man. But I like the fact. I like Ohio guys being on the team. To me, it's just, you know, they this is a dream for them to come here. Maybe the other guys, yes, you can kind of say that, but they might have some other schools in their dream as well. But, you know, you grow up in Ohio, most likely Ohio State was that dream school for you.
When it comes to cornerbacks, though, I mean, I feel like they're getting every 5-star corner that exists. Devin Sanchez commits, and the number one corner in the country is a Buckeye. And then Naeem Offer commits, now the number one corner in the country is a Buckeye. I don't know who's number one, but who's sniffing that number one, number two slot, shoot, they're on Ohio State's roster. So shout out to Coach Walton. Doing the work, man. He's challenging Heartline for top level recruiter award, man.
Yeah, that's for sure. He's putting up some numbers right now. But before we end the show, we wanted to shout out Archie Griffin. The news broke, I guess this week, that he would be getting a statue at the Rose Bowl. Said one or two players to start 4 games at the Rose Bowl. I was like, man, obviously, you know, he's already legendary, right? Only got to win the Heisman twice. But man, that just kind of goes to his legend right there. 4 games at the Rose Bowl, him starting there. And then Chill, I mean, we won the Rose Bowl, right?
Yeah, we won a Rose Bowl. We won a Rose Bowl our redshirt junior year.
Your redshirt junior year. What, real quick, but what you remember?
The thing I remember the most is winning a bowl game. We had lost 2 national championships, then lost a close one, super close one, to Texas in the Fiesta Bowl the year before. And Oregon was Oregon was hot. It was a hot team, hottest offense out there. Defensively, we were able to slow down that offense. Some help with LeGarrette Blount fumbling the ball when he was on a little bit of a tear. But, yeah, I remember that, and I remember celebrating after. It was the first time we won a bowl game, and we celebrated like we were. I celebrated like I was staying in California for another week.
And you know I'm right with you. But it was good time. But yeah, continue to log in and follow us for the next couple of weeks as we break down these position groups. You can follow us on all the major platforms. Our podcast, Believe in Buckeyes, on Apple, Spotify. Follow us on YouTube. Getting our followers up there. So, yeah, keep getting them followers up. Eventually, in the season, we can start kind of having some live shows. So, really been appreciating the love there. But as always, we're going to end the show with a nice OH.
Ayo.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.